Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Paranormal listeners, and thank you for joining us here on the Eerie Voice, here on Live Paranormal, the top social media, the paranormal world. My name is Chad Cornell, and I'm always joined by my fabulous co-host.
Yo, what's going on,
Doug Malinowski.
Fabulous.
Fabulous.
Man. Yeah, that's a little too flashy.
Yeah, it's fitting.
So fitting.
Hopefully everyone is having a good week.
This week sucks, man. Yeah, I'm ready for it to end.
I'm tired of the snow.
I am too, man. And then I fell. I ain't no spring chicken, man. I ain't 10 no more. Yeah. I haven't been able to move right since Monday. So watch out for the black ice. It is real, and it hurts.
It bites.
It does. Hey, you know what? My boss, she fell today. So being the stand-up guy I am, I sent her a text. I said, you know, I hear you trying to be like me. I said, luckily, you know, your short stature, you didn't have to fall very far.
Let's see here. Somebody's saying they can hear us on the live stream.
They can or they can't?
They said they can't, but we'll fix that. We'll fix that right now. Maybe there's this weird little glitch.
Maybe the microphone.
It might be covered, but that's okay.
Are we up and running?
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, it just looks different.
Yeah, it's all right. It's just a stupid thing I wanted to say.
Chad trying to change some stuff up.
No, we're good. All right. So, like I said, we're going to be joined by Mr. Tim Shaw as our special guest tonight. And he'll be on here shortly. Tim is an awesome guy to hear some paranormal information from as far as facts. And just in general, cool artifacts and other information.
Yeah, you can't hear it. Yo, what's going on?
Let's try this one time. Anyways, as we're still working on the Facebook live stream, we're excited to have Tim on again, because we last time we had Tim on was probably about, it's been about a year.
It's muffled.
I'm going to finish it up. Do it on my iPhone. We'll test it out and do something else here. Cancel it off. Anyways, yeah, like I was saying, last time we had Tim on was, it's been a year.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a full year. And last time we had on, we were talking about the Hinsdale House, mm-hmm. and we got him and Joe Pieri and Danny Kless on, and had a good conversation. Tim is a great guy to talk to, learn about things he's doing. He's doing a lot of great things at Joe Pieri's Paranormal Oddities.
Yes. Yeah. They're always doing different workshops, and looks like a really fun time. So if you're in the Buffalo area, make sure to hit up Paranormal Oddities.
All right, we're going to try this again. All right, and we're live again. All right, you want to share that? Perfect. You can share that from the EVP's page.
Yep.
To tag yourself, and you share it and tag me.
Well,
too. But anyways, we'll have on Tim here in a moment. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by our special guest, Mr. Tim Shaw. So stay tuned.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
All right, and we are back, and we're going to bring on our special guest, Mr. Tim Shaw, and he is the fabulous Tim Shaw, well-known paranormal investigator,
yeah.
And also still retired.
Still retired, yeah, yeah, he hasn't given it up yet.
Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing tonight? Thanks for inviting me on.
Oh, we're happy to have you on. We are very curious of what's been going on with you.
Curious.
Nice tie-in. Nice tie-in, boys.
Right?
Yeah, we're getting better.
We are.
Oh, no, no, no. You were always good. Don't even start that.
Okay. So how are things been going for you? I know you've been keeping pretty busy with doing different lectures and whatnot at Joe Pieri's Paranormal Oddities. I see you're always packed full of people.
You know, it's nice because I'm happy that Joe Pieri opened the shop, and I want to support him. So when we were talking about doing some lectures there and some talks and classes, I said to him, why don't we kind of sit down and kind of put this as a theme? Sort of like a para cabin fever lecture series. And why don't we go and just do a series of them? And bottom line is, I wanted to go and make them affordable for people. I wanted people to walk into Joe's shop and see really how nice it is and bring people in. Let people understand that, you know, we have a local shop here in Western New York. You don't have to go on Amazon or eBay looking for equipment. Everything is right there. It's a one-stop shop. He's got he's got some really great equipment in there. He's got equipment I've never seen before, and that's saying a lot, really. And I think it's wonderful. So he's been a friend of mine for a long time, but beyond that, I like to support local shops. I mean, I also teach out of Dragonfly Studios and Strange Brew metaphysical and craft shop in Kenmore, New York, and I'll be teaching out of a couple other places locally too. But the idea is to support your local brick and mortar people because of the fact that anybody can, and believe me, guys, I'm a big an eBay or Amazon guy, but because I hate stores, I hate going shopping. I hate it with a passion. So I these small stores that are really niche, they're there for niche audiences. I wanted to make sure that, they get their due. And Joe has put so much time in this field. He was one of the first guys out there that was doing the live remotes and the solo work. And he really has out of anybody out of Western New York, Joe Pieri is the guy that really has pushed the whole area into the 2018. You know, it's sort of like lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. And Joe is definitely in the lead. Me, I'm just kind of getting out of the way because everybody can stampede by.
Thank you.
Yeah, we definitely look up to Joe, and I tried to tell him that because I don't want him to feel too old.
Man.
Oh, don't worry, Joe. I know you're listening. You're not that old, Joe.
Yeah. Listen, I've got 10 years on Joe, at least. And believe me, Joe has got more life in him than most 20-year-olds.
Oh, he definitely does. Jeez, every time I talk to him, he's ready to go do something new. He's always traveling, going somewhere. But Doug was talking with me earlier about something he was always intrigued about you. He's always seen posts about stuff. And
about your I see you have an awesome mail person that always brings you goodies. So what got you into your collections?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I've always collected unusual stuff and crazy things. I mean, I've got a St. Benedict medal given to me by Lorraine Warren, and I've got late 1800s handbills from Lilydale, and I've always been interested in it. So I decided to really take the plunge. I met Jason Love. He's a Scottish guy, a Jesuit-trained demonologist out of Edinburgh, and we really got a good friendship going, and we talk, you know, at least message each other once a week, and it was really neat. And one day I came home, and there's this package, and he's a big haunted relic collector, huge. He removed so much stuff out of houses. He's got to have storage lockers full of haunted objects. And he, we had been at an event together, and we really started talking about the fact of you know, how saints, the bodies of saints, Roman Catholic saints, do not, you know, there's something about them, even if it's one little piece of flesh or bone, that is human, or I shouldn't say human, but lifelike. It's still living, sort of like the Father Nelson Baker situation up here in Western New York, where after they exhumed his body, he was always considered a living saint while he was alive, but when they exhumed his body, they had left the his bodily fluids and blood in the vault, in the ground. And when they brought them out after, he died nearly, probably the early 1900s, the white cells of the blood acted for a period of time as if they were still in the body. And once we kind of struck up that friendship, we started talking about it, about objects that were allegedly cursed or haunted or have had brought problems people. And he had sent me this box of stuff, and I just loved it. I loved every minute of it. As a matter of fact, I taped it, and you can see it on our website at SeanThomasProductions.com. It's just sort of a little thing that we put in there, and I put in there anyway, as I opened the box. And of course, as you know, I'm pretty careful, so I made sure that I re-blessed everything, reconsecrated everything, re-cleansed everything, even though I know he had done it in Scotland. But it's beautiful. I love this stuff. And to me, it's not so much a shock value. I don't care about shock. If people want shock and thriller, go to a movie, go to a haunted, you know, a commercial haunted house. I look at these pieces as historic relics, something that really punctuated a period of time in somebody's life. And what happened to it? And to me, they're spiritual relics, and I treat them like that. I love them, and every time I go out to display them, I rewrap them really carefully. I make sure that I store them properly with selenite in the cases and in the foot locker and everything, and so nothing happens to them. And I think. Like John, I know Johnny Zaffis pretty well, and and we had talked on several occasions. And Johnny's the one that really taught me how to take care of these relics and what to do with them. And he's really never had a problem with any of them. And I've followed his advice, and I've never had a problem with anything. Well, I've had a problem once with one piece, but I mean, everything else, I've never had a problem.
Now, since you mentioned you had a problem with one piece, what exactly did you encounter with it?
Last year, I was speaking in New Orleans, and they with the Kling brothers from the old Ghost Lab series, and we were at Cemetery Number 2, Lafayette Cemetery Number 2, and there was a pile of debris up against a fence. There was nothing around it. And I walked over there, and I saw a little piece of mortar. And I know that the piece of mortar came from one of the standing graves, you know, the vaults. So I put it in my pocket, and I said, well, you know, this is really a neat piece. I really love this piece. This is really wonderful. Well, be careful what you bring home, because I had trouble getting through TSA. I had trouble getting out of New Orleans. My flight was diverted from Chicago. I ended up going to Dulles in Washington, D.C., where it was a toss-up between a flight going to Albany and a flight coming back home. And luckily, I got on the flight coming back home, but I was probably about 4 hours late. Then it was a series of things where I got sick. Some poor luck, I guess that's the best way I could describe it, for about a month and a half. And then I ended up just touching my desk that I'm sitting at, and I broke one of my toes just before I was leaving to go to another event going up to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And at that point, I said, there's something going on with this piece. And I had it in a case, and I had consecrated it and cleansed it in the Roman Catholic tradition. Then I went and I reconsecrated it and cleansed it in the voodoo traditions that I had been taught. Then it just kept building. So I asked John about it, and he says, put it out in the bright sun. Leave it out there for a few hours. So I left it out there for 4 hours, and sure enough, it calmed it right down, but there was still something to it. So as I was building the collection and I was working on stuff, I said to Joe Piari, Joe, do you want this piece for your haunted object cabinet? Because he's got some couple neat pieces. I've given him some pieces, and he's accumulated a couple pieces. And he says, sure. So he took it, and he started having bad luck. And he called me up and said, take this thing out. So I did, and I ended up taking it to my friend Onyx at Strange Brew, who is a Strega witch, the Sicilian traditionalist witch, and she's got a really neat little shop locally, and it felt like there was a lot of feminine energy to it, as a sensitive and as a medium, you kind of feel that. So I gave it to her. She really wanted it in the worst way, and so I gave it to her. And again, I had it in a Riker's case with a nice picture of the graves, you know, at New Orleans at Number 2, and it had a little. It's got a, and of course I had reconsecrated it with a St. Michael metal in there, and I gave it to her, and she's got it on a shelf in her shop. It's right in the front of the shop. The sun hits it. They love it. She told me that she's got better business now than she ever had. So, you know, it's amazing how this stuff happens. I was gonna keep it, but what happens a lot of times with these objects is the fact that when you keep these objects, but and you had actually picked it, like I picked it, psychologically, you can open that door over and over and over again. It's like cleansing a house, and then the people go and start talking about the entity or the spirit that was, you know, oppressing them. So I went, and I figured it would be best for me to pass this piece on so that it, you know, it doesn't bother me, even though I know what I've done to it and what I've worked with. But this way we can go and you know, she loves it too. So it was a win-win situation for everybody all the way around, except for poor Joe. But we got it out of there.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I was just talking to Joe recently, and I was just telling Doug, we're just kind of reminiscing, and we realized it was last time we had you on was pretty much a year ago right now, because we were getting ready to go investigate Dan's place, the Hinsdale House, with Joe.
Yeah.
And, we were just talking about that earlier, and that was the last time we had you on. It was a pretty cool conversation to hear the aspects of your experiences, Joe's experiences, Dan's experience. Such a cool location.
Yeah.
I love the location. I love the house. I don't get up there as much as I really want to. I get invited up there all, you know, really, you know, listen, I'm a nobody, and I get invited up there all the time because of the Paranormal Lockdown show that, you know, that I had done a lot
yeah.
of the footwork for, and I was on the show. So I get a lot of invitations to go up there with all sorts of different groups from across the country. I'm going to be honest with you, I just don't have the time. And quite frankly, as much as I'd like to go up there, I don't want to. There's one experience that I don't want to experience, you know, really have experience with. That's called divorce court with my wife, because I'm gone so much. You know, last year I was home one weekend a month. Plus I was doing teaching in between and everything. And this year, no. I don't want to get divorced at this stage of the game. Now that I,
right.
You know, Daddy don't want to go back to work if you don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, you're still retired.
I'm still retired, believe it or not. You know, it's funny. Somebody asked me, so how do you like retirement? I said, I'll tell you when I actually retire, because my life is busier than ever. You know, if I'm not prepping for classes, I'm redoing notes. My current project is going through 6 binders full of notes and study materials that I had with my advanced mediumship classes that I took down at the Lilydale Assembly, and through the Morris Pratt Institute of the National Spiritual Association of Churches, along with transcripts from seances that I had conducted, and, you know, different styles of trance, what's what, and there's a lot of stuff that I had forgotten over the years, and I'm trying to put it together to conduct an advanced mediumship class that I hope to teach in the summer. So I probably spend 4 to 6 hours a day on something like that. And, you know, I've got stuff to do. I got to cook. I got to go and clean the bathroom. I got to do laundry. Dude, I mean, it's like I don't have time for this stuff. I got to be able to go and dedicate some work to it. Plus, on top of it, I'm booking to I'm trying to book for the web series this year for interviews. And the very first episode that we're going to do is we're going to go to Cleveland, and we're going to shoot at the Buckland Museum of Witchcraft, and I've been there already. It's a very, very small one-room thing, but I knew Ray Buckland personally, and I was lucky enough to speak with him on so many occasions, and he really taught me so much just through his books and classes and one-on-one conversations that I really, really want to honor him and do a good job on it. So we're going to go down there. We're going to spend the day, and we're going to I just want to pick the curator's brain a lot, because he actually knows even more than what, you know, that I knew about him. And I interviewed him on several occasions on the old Black Cat Lounge show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, when it comes, because you're talking about Curiosity, the web series, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Because we have Curiosity, and because it's not enough, that I must have an extra hour, you know, a month that I can go and devote to other things. We also have Curiosity Radio that we do once a month with my buddy Charles, and he's also co-host, and he's in front and behind the camera like I am on Curiosity, the web series, and it's just a lot of fun. I mean, I love it all because of the fact that what we can't reach, and we only do 5-6 episodes a year because we're doing it for the fun of it. You know, I don't care about making money. That's not what I'm about anymore. I just don't care. I mean, I got a pension and I got savings. I could care less. The money I make at little things, I put right back into travel or whatever. So I love the fact that we can put something out there. And at the tender age of 58, I actually started teaching myself videography and video editing. which is like so alien to me because this cat pushed asphalt and concrete his whole life. So this stuff is all new to me, and I get a chance to really work with it, and it's just fun. So and we get a chance to share everything. Eric and I just love sharing with everybody, and I love interviews. I have a natural curiosity about people and places and things and whys and hows, you know. So sort of like you guys, you know, you just want to do that. You want to find out the backstories about everybody. You want to be able to go and share that with people. And along the way, I hope like we can help little locations like Bergen House in Bergen, New York. You know, I did an interview with the house manager there, and you know, bring a little notoriety to these places, and maybe, you know, help them raise a couple bucks for whatever their projects are.
Oh, definitely.
We'll have to get you and Eric, and actually we'll get Joe to bring it down and come check out the place that we have kind of coming home to us that we've now taken over, and hopefully to keep it up and going for ghost hunting is the Barnabas House. I think I've talked about it before.
Plug.
I know. I think Joe is coming. He's falling in love with the place. He wants to go all the time. Wants to bring you down to that place.
He talks about it a lot. Yeah,
it's a great location.
Yeah.
You guys are right down the through. So it's no big deal. We just hop on and head west, and we're all good.
Right. And you get to drive through Wine County.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even a bigger bonus.
You could take the wife.
Yeah. See?
No.
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 That was a pause for a second.
Think about that for a second.
No, all right, so is your wife...
My wife really isn't into it. So.
All right, I was curious.
She's not curious about the wine. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe the wine.
Anyways.
But not. So what does your wife think of your pastime? Everything? What does your wife think about your paranormal?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? This is what she tells people. You know, when I married him, I knew he was into this stuff. I just didn't know how deep. And,
good answer.
You know, I mean, we were dating back in the 80s. We used to, you know, go to Lilydale, and I used to show her where all my relatives lived and everything, you know. So she knew I had a background in it. And then we had joined a spiritualist church nearby, and she knew I was, you know, that I had been I was active in church activities and that sort of thing. So it's just a natural progression that, you know, she likes it, she understands it, and she's not really thrilled to go out there and really be a super part of it. She doesn't mind like church services or message circles or something of that nature, but to go and be up all night, do what we do out in the paranormal world. That doesn't really thrill her, because she'd rather stay in the hotel with a good book and the dog and, you know, just relax more than that.
Yeah.
But she's super supportive of me, you know. So I'm very, very lucky, where a lot of wives would be like putting the kibosh on stuff or you know, saying, hey, you can't do X, Y, or Z. She's always been like, hey, you want to do it. If that's something that you want to do, go do it. So I've been very, very lucky. I'm blessed with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Now, I know tomorrow night you're going to be doing a talk and lecture about table tipping at Joe's Paranormal Oddities. What is the kind of the theory about table tipping? Why is it such an interesting aspect of investigating? What's kind of the theory behind that?
Basically, table tipping should be used as part of an introduction to seance, because table tipping isn't just a sideshow act that a lot of, and I hate to say that some mediums do it, you know, just to thrill the group. It should be done for one specific reason, and that's for two-way communication with the other side. And table tipping is kind of neat, because what happens is it's like energy builds up coming. And I'll tell you my theory. My theory is just like a dowser. I mean, you're the antenna, and you release ectoplasm through different outlets of your body, and I believe it comes through the chakra points in your hand. And you actually are moving the table guided by spirit. And the table will spin, it'll jump, it'll move. And you can ask it yes or no questions. You can ask it to spell things out using an alphabet wrapping system. You go A, B, C, D. As the table is moving, it'll make a bang. It goes back all the way back to the Fox sisters, the 1840s, 1850s, when they started getting knocks coming through the center of the table from underneath. And we progressed with it. A lot of the churches, when I was coming up through the ranks, a lot of the spiritualist churches stopped teaching physical phenomena, and very seldom did they have seance or anything of this nature. Because of the golden age of fraud, everybody knows about Houdini and Marjorie, the medium, and the exposing of all that. So spiritualism got a really black eye during that time period, and rightly so, because there's so many frauds out there, so many fakes. And, being brought up, my first introduction into Lilydale was in 1972. I was just a kid, in grammar school. And I used to see some of the best mediums out there, but I also saw a lot of frauds. And, you learn quickly why they don't do things or why they do things. And a lot of it was sort of just kind of, we'll do it in a small group, but we won't allow the general public to see it. And that happens a lot. And a lot of times they would have their church services in the evening during the week so that all the good – I always remember a pastor of a church said to me, we used to have meetings on Wednesdays because all the good Catholics used to go to church on Sundays and then come here on Wednesdays for messages. But that was the atmosphere at the time. That was the atmosphere in the 70s and early 80s until the it was more accepted. And let's face it, I mean, you guys are way too young to remember, but they used to have these magazines out called Man, Myth, and Magic that you could pick up, and you could put them together in a series of a book. Then later on, of course, they released hardbound copies of these. But it started slowly to come to the forefront, and then it became more of a fad, and then it disappeared, and then it slowly came back. And when the ghost hunters and the shows really started to take off, I mean, everything really started to open up. And I'm kind of glad, because now table tipping and seance, it's more accepted by people, and they're understanding it. It's not like I tell people, there's nothing supernatural about what we do in the spiritualist realm or mediumship. It's all natural. That's all. It's just natural, or else we couldn't do it. It's not paranormal. It's just normal. That's all. It's just normal that we do it. And if other people want to learn how to do it, they can learn how to do it in some way, shape, or form. So it's more accepted now. And what I like to see, and I had talked to Jason Hawes on several occasions about this, and I first met him up at Lilydale, and I had thanked him for the show, and he kind of looked at me strangely, and I said, well, Jason, I said, it's because of your show, we're getting younger people coming into the churches, which, up to a certain point, a lot of the spiritualist churches, the average age was about 58, that's a youngster. Hey, can you come in here and move these tables? These guys are 58, 59 years old. So people started looking at, more of a spiritual-based belief system. They took it more seriously because of them. And I ran into him not too long ago, and we were talking about it, and he said to me, he goes, at first, dude, I thought you were, kind of whacked out. You kind of scared me. You got these earrings and this biker beard, and you're coming up walking. He goes, I thought you were going to take my wallet. And I said, no. He says, but, he goes, it really was, because I hear this a lot when people really go and say, hey, you really kind of opened my eyes up a little bit and introduced us back to, having a spiritual life, not a religious life, because religion is created by man. spiritual life is created is a covenant between you and your God or your deity or whatever you want to call it. So it's a lot of fun that you know, that they had a hand in it, you know. So it was really great. And so many of the people that are on network, and I've been blessed because I kind of run with that pack once in a while. Most of them really have a deep spiritual basis, you know. Dustin Perry, whom I love dearly, he's probably one of my best friends in the field. He is a very spiritual person, and I mean, we sit down and we have some really deep conversations. We flew from Detroit to Sault Ste. Marie one year, and I don't think that they issued an edict that we can never sit next to one another because I think we were freaking out the people around us as we were into these really deep subjects of life and death and the afterlife. So, yeah, but, you know, most of them do. Most of them have that spirituality. And that's something that I always preach. And I, you know what, I got my ordination and all that stuff. And that doesn't, you know, that's not important to me. What's important to me is that a lot of people open their eyes to the other side and they start to develop some kind of a spiritual life. And I think the paranormal field, to do it correctly, you have to be, first of all, you have to be a massive skeptic, because every time somebody passes gas, it's not like an EVP or something, you know, from the other side. Although I have smelled some really bad smells, you know, when we've been in some nasty locations. But oh yeah, I mean, you know, there's not a lot of difference between the smell of a rotting corpse and, you know, somebody that has eaten like a really bad chili from a roadhouse stand. You know what I mean? You have to understand that everything isn't, you know, supernatural. Everything's not always, you know, truly paranormal. There's a lot. You got to look for every natural occurrence that could create it. But, you know, my big thing is if people go and understand that the essence of personality when you pass goes on, and in, you know, and I believe it goes on into a purgatory form, that there is something beyond what we call a change called death. And that, to me, is more important than anything else. And if you can somehow marry the two, the paranormal field together with that concept, you will have a wonderful life full of mystery. And I love it. Wonderment. That's the only way I could. Let me ask you guys. When you guys were younger, man, you guys had, like, that really innate sense of adventure. Remember, like, you're on your bikes and, like, going someplace?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, going on a trip. Yeah, and you lose it because reality kind of steps in. You know, reality is like knocks you down, and all of a sudden, oh, I got to work. You know, I got to have a job. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got responsibilities. Well, if you can marry the two of those together, if you marry that spirituality and paranormal, that love of paranormal, all of a sudden the adventure comes back, and your life becomes adventurous. Hell, you know, my wife laughs because my wife works out of the house. She does transcription work. So okay. I'll be in the basement folding laundry or doing something in the basement. All of a sudden, she starts hearing all this chatter and stuff. Well, I'm in the basement folding laundry. I've got I've got my SB7 out there, you know, running, going through a filter box, and I'm listening for stuff. I'm listening for that two-way conference, and it becomes an adventure. And that's what you have to do. You have to keep that one. Yeah, that childlike wonderment in your life, or you just might as well just pack it right off. You know, that's my preaching in a nutshell for tonight.
speaking of adventures, there's an anonymous comment on here, Joe. about hearing about a certain package that was sent to you from Eric when you were at town.
Oh my God, that's a funny story. I'm heading to Virginia, Northern Shenandoah, you know, and we're driving, and I'm doing about 85, and I got my friend Chris Cox with me, and he's, you know, helping me for the weekend because I got I'm schlepping all my haunted objects and all my crazy objects with, you know, and so he can give me a hand, and we're staying at this beautiful wayside inn, so we're flying down there doing about 85. I'm in the passing lane. All of a sudden, I get this text, and I don't usually read text when I drive, but this one, I don't know. I just got that feeling, and Nancy goes, when you get a chance, call me. I'm going, oh, no, and her mom's, you know, elderly and has some problems. So I said, oh, I hope it's not her mom. So I, you know, I really kind of have to weave my way over. It's a real busy highway. I get to the side, call her up, and she goes, you got a package. You just said your last name on it. I thought maybe it was for us, maybe something I bought on Etsy. I opened it up, and here is this effigy that's in there, this wooden effigy, and there's this note in there that says, you know, this thing is moving, it's translocating, I'm hearing voices, I'm hearing drumming with it. You know, I'm sending it to you, I have to get it out of my house, and this and that. She's freaking, right? So here's me in Tim Shaw form. I just put it in a box, throw it out in the garage. That's what whenever I get a Ouija, and I've got like 40 Ouija boards here, and whenever somebody sends me one, if I'm not there, just put it in the garage. Don't worry about it. But this was a package that she didn't know what it was. So she puts it out in the garage, and I'm driving, and I thought to myself, wait a minute. Eric found this tiki guy at a local, like, Amvets or, you know, Goodwill or something. He says, well, I'll give it to you. Well, we had, you know, sometimes it's hard for Eric and I to get together. So he sends it from where he works. And I call Nancy. I said, where's the postmark from? And it's from the town where Eric is working. And so I said, son of a pup. There he goes. He got me good. He got his bone good. So I'm texting Eric. Did you send that? It came in there. Nancy's freaking all this. Nancy's texted him. Well, I think he was afraid to, like, text back. But it was the great. That was the greatest pranks that I've ever had pulled on me, because it first of all, it involved Nancy, which is always fun. But she didn't know what the heck to do with that.
She
had to throw it in the garage.
She's on our Facebook live stream here, and she says that her version of the story is a little different.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she's the brave one. Yeah, okay. No, sorry.
Oh, God, that was funny.
There was, believe me, there was a meltdown happening.
Oh, now, I know you have a very close partner in your house, and your wife, which is your pet, and always love seeing pictures of your pet. You take your dog with you on some of your trips to locations?
You know what? I haven't taken this one. My old dog, Ebby, Ebony, was a black lab. This one, Winifred's a chocolate. And I used to take Ebony on different adventures. And actually, before Dan bought the house, I took Ebony up to Hinsdale. And, I mean, we didn't go in because everything had been nailed shut. It had been still abandoned, but everybody had kicked in doors and stuff. So they had secured the property. But I went up there to do a little bit of extra footage up there just on the outside of the house and the pond. And it was springtime, and, you know, a lab is crazy. Labs are insane. They come flying around, yeah. And she's going up and down off, you know how the porch is laid out. So she's going back and forth on the porch. And all of a sudden, you know, Clara Miller talks about umbrella nights, where things just felt differently. And as paranormal investigators, we often find that barometric pressure drops or raises when there is an occurrence that will start. And that's one of the things I always talk about when we start looking at cases, especially negative cases. And it was a real icky feeling. And all of a sudden, Ebony stops. And, you know, labs just love everybody and everything. Well, all of a sudden, she stops. And she's staring on the porch. She's staring at something on the porch. And her hackles came up. And she starts growling, and she's backing up. And I actually have it on film. I have it on – I taped it. And at that point, I said, okay, let's go. I said, I think we've had enough. And I opened that back door, and she went flying. She jumped in. I got in there. And then, of course, I almost got stuck in the driveway. You know how that is when it gets wet. I ended up – it freaked me so – And I don't get freaked very often, but this was a weird feeling, just a totally weird feeling. I ended up backing down the road all the way down to McMahon, you know, or all the way down to, not McMahon, where is that crossroad is. And because it just didn't feel right. It was a very oppressive, like, okay, pal, go, get moving, you know, get out of here. And it just was that strong that we took off. Winifred, I'll take her eventually, but she's only two and a half, and she's still got that puppy mentality. So I want to make sure that when I take her someplace, I want her to make sure that she listens and is trained just a bit better, that she returns when I tell her to.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, I know you're taking a trip, I think in May, isn't it, to Gettysburg? And I think Gettysburg is probably one of your places you love the most, because I've seen her always there for something.
Well, Gettysburg has always been important to me because I have a direct connection with Gettysburg. I had my great-great-grandfather fought at Gettysburg. His brother was killed in the wheat field. And growing up, my father used to take me there all the time. Well, what I am excited about is May 18th and 19th. We're going to rock it old school in Gettysburg. I'm working with Spooky Riley down there with the Gettysburg Paranormal Association. And I'm going to be bringing some relics down there. They're establishing a small little museum at the Jenny Wade Birth House. And I'm going to be teaching Ouija board work. I'm going to be teaching dowsing. I'm going to be teaching a lot of the old school. I mean, and we're not talking ping pong balls or static electricity work. We're talking really getting down and dirty and how to use all the stuff that I'm teaching so safely. You know, everybody's afraid of Ouija boards, but yet they go and they turn on a recorder. You know, it's all the same thing. You're using it to open up a portal or make this two-way connection, to recognize when there's a problem, to not, you know, to use your common sense if something is going wrong. Same thing with dowsing. It's the same exact mentality about it. So I am so excited about that. And besides Gettysburg, I know where all the great restaurants are, and I know where every dive bar is in the whole area. So you'll find me at one after every night when I'm after each night of teaching. I usually stop at the Reliance Mine, which is a little place where everybody who's who of that visits Gettysburg stops there. So I'll be there having one, and then I'll zip off back to the hotel.
Nice. Yeah. All right, now talking about locations, it's a little off subject, but have you ever been to Centralia or ever had any want to go there?
I'll be going there this year to film. The state troopers were issuing tickets to go down the graffiti highway. They wouldn't let you there.
Yeah.
The property has now reverted back to the ownership of the surrounding, you know, surrounding land. So I'm going down there to check it out. Centralia has always been one of those really interesting places, locations, because it's a natural, yeah, or it's a man-made disaster. The mine, you know, the fire department started that fire, and you know the anthracite went up, and it's still cooking underneath there. So I can't wait. It's about 4.5 hours from my house. I'm going down there. I want to shoot probably about 6 hours of film down there, and you know, and see what we get. But that has always had a distinct fascination to me, and it's going to be part of a little kind of series of unusual roadside attractions. Double Rock outside of Batavia. I want to head down to Franklin, Pennsylvania to see the Apollo training capsule in front of the Dairy Queen. You know, things like that. I find them, oh man, it's just,
yeah,
I love that stuff.
Like, I know that little thing you're talking about, because I'm from Franklin. It's right in front of that Dairy Queen. That's a cool Dairy Queen, because inside that Dairy Queen, they have tables set up to be like airplanes, so you can enjoy nice ice cream.
I love it.
Only in Franklin.
Yeah, but you have to be. But again, you know what we do can be so serious, and having gone and met personally, knowing, you know, people like Johnny and Andrea Perone from the House of Light and Dark, you know, where they based Conjuring on her books, you know, and actually meeting, you know, her dad, Roger, and meeting like Christopher Quarantino and knowing, you know, Bobby Murch, the Ouija board collector. What I found is that everybody has this unbelievable underlying personality of fun and childlike wonderment. Everybody has it. And to me, I find, you know, you have to dig deep sometimes to dig that out. But, you know, you find and you see these great things, all these great oddities out there. And to me, that capsule in front of the Dairy Queen is just as important as, you know, the nail at the African Congolese nail effigies that I have, or the scarification mask, or the one of the latest things that I have is I purchased through a sort of an auction, and I'll just say sort of because it's not really open to a lot of people, a small cross that was used in 11 sanctioned exorcisms, and who knows how many unsanctioned exorcisms that came from the south of France or the south of Chile. These things are all important to me. These things increase my wonderment, and it doesn't matter if it's in my collection, in your collection, or if it's Roadside Odyssey. It is wonderment, and to me, it all works into one thing. It sort of just falls into one big cauldron, and I giggle all the while. I examine this stuff, and I just find just such amusement with it and joy.
Yeah.
When you find a passion, you enjoy it, love it.
Well, heck yeah, you gotta ride with it. I mean,
well,
maybe you guys will jump in the back seat of one of my of my SUV and come along on the magic carpet ride. Find out where we're gonna go next.
We'd be there in a heartbeat.
Oh, heck yeah, I'm always down.
But time is flying by. We're almost into the show already. But I wanted to at least talk a little about how they can reach out to you. They can go to your website. Obviously, you have multiple websites you can go to. But also, they can go see you, obviously, starting tomorrow night. You're going to be, obviously, at the Paranormal Oddities doing the table tipping conversation. But they can go to, obviously, TimothyTShaw.com and also, Sean
Thomas Productions. I'm sorry. Sean is spelled S-E-A-N. And that's that's Eric and my site for Curiosity and Curiosity Radio. And just let everybody know, when you look at some of the classes, because I post some of the classes that I teach, they'll be repeated both at Paranormal Oddities, at Dragonfly Studio, and some other places in Western New York, along with, you know, wherever I, you know, let's put it this way. They bring me out to an event. You tell me what you want me to talk about. And I talk about it, basically. And I'll be repeating everything at different locations. And tomorrow night, it just won't be a lecture. We're bringing card tables and the participants. Everybody that's coming in for the lecture is going to actually learn and work with the tables. And we're all going to experiment and try to go and move the tables. And we'll be talking about the Phillips experiment of 1972 up in Toronto, where they conjured a thought form, and the thought form actually became intelligent, brought forth intelligent information. So we'll be talking about that. So it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to come on. I know you're a very busy guy, being retired and all.
Anyway. Yeah, I got to be in bed by 10. You know how that is.
But, you know, thanks for taking the time. I hope you enjoy the rest of the night, and we'll talk to you hopefully soon. Hopefully see you down the road at some point, and, you know, keep up your great work and spread the message.
We'll work together somewhere. I mean, it's just a matter of setting up a date where everybody can kind of get together, and, you know, we'll be together yet. It'll be fun,
absolutely,
baby. It'll be fun. We'll bring in Joe Piari, and the hilarity will not cease.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, you enjoy the rest of the night. Thank you for coming on again, and we'll talk again soon.
Have a good one, Tim.
Take care, guys. Thanks a lot for inviting me on, and again, you guys have a great show. You guys rock with it, and you guys do some great paranormal work out there in the field. So kudos to you guys and your team. So have a great night, guys.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was our special guest for the night, Mr. Tim Shaw. So make sure and check out his websites, obviously, Timothy
T. Shaw.
T. Shaw, I can't read over here, and also Sean Thomas Productions. And thank you for joining us in Ear Voice, and then we'll join us again in 2 more weeks. We'll have another special guest on, which I think we just booked already tonight, which will be probably Joe Pieri. He's had a conversation.
Yeah.
And then in 4 weeks, we'll have we'll also have Porter, which people will be aware of who Porter is from ghost asylums, haunted towns, mm-hmm. And so forth. So he'll be on in 4 weeks. So until next time, hopefully everyone enjoys their evening, and thanks for listening to the Eerie Voice.
Have a good one, y'all. Stay out of trouble.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. LiveParanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.